Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Relationship Lounge presents Reveal and Heal. I'm Coach Dan. You know, you can't heal unless you reveal. I have an amazing guest today. Her name is Robin Brown. I want you guys to welcome her. She has an amazing story. I know it's going to motivate you, inspire you, and it's going to help you along the way. You know, we all need a motivation word. Our topic for this week is God's plan. And I know that many of you out there can relate to God's plan. Many of you can relate to how often have we kind of skidded off of God's plan. But he still, because of his love for us, put us back on track. And you know what? No matter what you went through, no matter your circumstances, no matter the case at all, it's still God's plan. Because we are the makeup of all those things, guys. We're the makeup of all those things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Today, I'm excited about the story that Robin Brown is gonna come with. Go ahead and tag your friends. Go ahead and tag your neighbors. Tag everybody that you know that need a motivation word. Call them, let them know this story, you don't wanna miss. You want to be a part of this conversation. You know, you can follow us on all social media outlets. We are on Spotify. Just connect with Relationship Lounge 19. Robin?
Yes,
Robin Brown, we welcome you this morning. How are you?
I'm well, so well. Thank you for having me, Coach Deb. Thank you.
You know, thank you for saying yes to this interview. I'm so excited about what you're going to share. You know, I need a motivation word. Mm-hmm. I need it. And I'm looking forward to you just blessing us, you know, with your story. And I'm going to begin this morning with, who is Robin Brown?
That's a loaded one. So Robin Brown is a believer in Christ. Robin Brown is committed to change within myself, seeing change within my community, my family. I am a big sister. I am a little sister. I'm an auntie. I'm a business owner. But the first hat that I wear is I am a Black woman. And I feel like that is such an honorable club to be a part of. I am a Black woman.
Indeed. Indeed. It is beautiful to honor who you are. And you know, many times we haven't always been proud of who we are, Robin. You know, I can remember many times when, you know, certain complexion, you know, were favored more than others, and the regret of being who you are. I don't want to, you know, kind of sway too far off of our place right here, but I happen to know certain young women that I've actually coached that didn't agree that they were Black, that they felt like it was just a shame, they didn't like being Black, and it was like a mental barrier. So to be able to acknowledge, I am a Black woman and I'm proud of who I am. That's where we need to be in this day and time, because we stand together as one and we have to be proud of who we are. So I'm glad that you acknowledge that, because there are people that are listening today, you know, and everybody needs to be proud of who they are, no matter what their race is. But most importantly, I am proud to be a Black woman. So thank you for stating that. I want you to share something I believe that is very, very relatable to everyone that's listening today. You know, as we grow and become, we look back and we remember the painful days. We remember a lot of the sad times, you know, that we have gone through. And for some people, they are ashamed of where they come from and where they've been. If you could change anything in your life, any past experiences, any mistakes, if you could change where you come from and had the opportunity to do a do-over, would you? And if you would, why?
So much comes to mind when you say that, right? So it's it's a yes and it's a no for me. It's a no simply because looking back, what the enemy had for bad, for destruction, God used it for my good. Like, I would not be able to have an intimacy with God had I not gone through trials and tribulations, right? Hardships. It's a yes because I am so free right now, freer than I have ever been in my 38 years on the planet. I think for me, I've always had a very difficult relationship with my mom, and it stemmed from her relationship with her mom, which stemmed from her relationship with her mom. And so the one thing that, looking back, that I wish could be different is really understanding those generational ties in my family, those generational relationships in my family, that brokenness in my family, and wanting to forgive the past without ever hearing I'm sorry, right? Without ever hearing my grandmother apologize to my mom for certain things, my great-grandmother, like letting all of that go as opposed to carrying it. I felt like I, in my 20s, I carried so much baggage that was not mine. And I left home heavy. I left home making poor decisions. I left home unaware of how to exist in this world, how to create healthy relationships. And so that led me to some self-destruction in terms of just how I stood in my Black skin. I couldn't relate to anyone. I couldn't connect and bond with anyone. I was so guarded and protected simply because I was carrying on to a story that had nothing to do with me. So I think the only thing that I would want to be different is getting clear on how to let go.
So do you feel you live a life of pretense to some degree, not knowing who you were or was supposed to be?
Yes, absolutely. I felt like, even from a young age, I felt like I was trying to please my mother, to like gain something from her, whether it be love, affection, attention. And then once I left home, I found myself also reaching back, trying to help her forgive her mother for what she did. I always found myself paddling to fix someone else while I was breaking, trying to do that, while I was neglecting the healing that I needed to get well. So yeah, there was a lot of past trauma that I was living in that I couldn't do anything about, but I definitely tried. And the trying and the failing, it put me in a depressive state. It put me in a, my body was rebelling against me. It started in my mind first, but then my body started to shut down on me. And so I just had to reconsider or understand that I cannot fix things that I was not a part of. I had to let it go. I had to choose to let that go and live for me. And that was really difficult because I also, in that same decision, I actually decided to create distance between me and my mom simply because that relationship was toxic and unhealthy. And it was wild to like have my mom on the planet, but not bond with her in the way that my peers were going home for holidays or whatever. And so it was hard, but I knew that my health, my sanity was at stake. And so I had to choose me and not her or anybody else. I had to choose me.
So you separated yourself from your family for the sake of your peace. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So at any point, did shame ever play a role?
did shame ever play a role? So I definitely would never talk about my family dynamics. I would never bring up my mom in conversation around holidays or whatever. I would never bring it up, simply because I realized that my story was different from everybody else's story. My relationship was different. And I can't relate to feeling shame, but I did feel sorrow, right? Like I did feel very sorrowful that, you know, there are people out here having a strong bonded relationship with their mom. However, I'm not. And so it took me a minute to want to talk about it as a form of release. But it wasn't shame that I was feeling. It was more sadness than anything.
Oh, wow. So it was more pity for you or for your mom?
Pity for the whole situation, right? So here I am, and I left home when I was a junior in high school. And so for me, I remember my junior year, I left home. Then I went back, and then I think I left again my senior year for good, and I slept on the floor in a Walmart bathroom. And to me, I was safer there in the handicap stall on the floor than I felt at my mom's, right? Like I just felt completely disconnected from our relationship and unprotected in our relationship as well. And so when I slingshotted into womanhood, and I'm out here trying to figure it out, you know, you use the word pity. It was pitiful for all of it that I just couldn't call my mom and say, hey, what do I do in this situation? I had to figure it out, or I had to make the bad choice and then learn from the bad choice and use that in the next experience or change the narrative in the next experience on my own. But without the guidance that most people, I won't say all, most people get from having a mother figure that is still on the planet.
Were there times, Robin, that you found yourself in, you know, toxic situations, you found yourself in unsafe environments due to your naiveness, you know, just not being aware, you know, just lack of wisdom, and just trying to survive?
Yeah, there were not a few, and I've been more open to having these conversations with them maybe like the last 8 years. And one thing I know for certain, I've had one abuser my entire life, and it has only been my mother. I've never attracted a man to put his hands on me. I've never, you know, in any form of abuse, right? Not emotionally, not physically, not mentally. So she has been the only one that I can identify that has been unhealthy for me. And so what I attracted in terms of just like bad choices were the people that I hung around. The company that I kept, I've always felt that God kept me from certain situations. I tried to be the turn up girl. I tried to be the girl that would go to the parties, but randomly, anytime I would try to go to the club or be in the streets, randomly the club would get closed down because of the liquor license, you know, like something like I tried to do it all, right? But looking back and knowing what I know now, it was God keeping me. So yeah, I got into little spats. I didn't go to college right off the bat. I didn't go to college until I was 25, because I had to be dependent, independent. I couldn't ask her to, you know, fill out the paperwork. And so certain things I feel like set me back, simply because there was no bond, no relationship, and she had no investment or interest in my life. So certain things because of that relationship set me back. But I did not make any tragic choices and decisions. They were all mostly emotional and made out of feeling lonely, you know?
Yeah, I believe that everybody listening can relate to that, those decisions being made out of emotions. So seeing where you are today, you know, successful, you know who you are, you love who you are. And I'm hoping that, you know, with your family, relationships have been mended.
Yeah, so in my family relationships are mended, but specifically, my mom is, she's not in my life, and that is a healthy choice for me. But outside of my relationship with her, I really am proud of my family dynamics and what we are creating and what we have been creating. And, you know, family in the Black community always looks a little different. And so we're working with what we got, and I'm very proud that we're doing the absolute best that we can.
Absolutely. And, you know, with that being said, would you say that, of course, all these things that you've shared, you know, these sad moments and trials and tribulations we've all had, you know, everybody's story is so similar because, you know, growth has to come from somewhere.
Right.
And I don't believe anybody is blessed to be in a perfect situation. Because you cannot become who God wants you to be if everything is always right, if everything is always good. So seeing where you are now, would you say that all the things that you've been through has contributed to that? Any regrets?
No, I latched on a long time ago to the don't have any regrets. Like I really don't have any regrets. Nothing jumps out to me hearing that word. And like I said, the only thing that, you know, I wish could have changed, but it's beyond me because it's a generational thing that happened. It's the only thing that I wish I could change. And, you know, the word regret and the phrase do things differently, they're a little different to me. So if I had to extract what I do certain things differently, yeah, there were so many opportunities and chances that I said no to simply because I couldn't see myself, right? Like I couldn't see me the way other people saw me. So I was the first person to tell myself no. Before the world would tell me no, that I can't do anything, I would tell myself no first. And I mean, I started a career in fashion in New York City at the time when the word stylist or image consultant was just becoming like a buzzword. And so I was really on a trajectory to like really be a heavy hitter in the game, but I wasn't ready for that. And I self-sabotaged a lot of opportunities. I had no follow through. Simply because there was so much noise going on in me, right? Like I couldn't hear the possibility. I couldn't hear the, you know, opportunities. I couldn't hear any of that. I just kept hearing that I wasn't enough. And, you know, my default story was I don't have my mom and I come from this like broken family. And so my default story is what I would do differently so I could actually know from an early age that, yo, girl, people saw you. People legitimately saw you as a force and you could have been at the top of your game. And I made significant strides in fashion, but it was like in front of my curtain, Coach Deb, I was on. I showed up, I did the job, but behind my curtain, I was so depressed at home, so dark, so lonely, so low in my spirit. But I would cover that up with like the clothes and, you know, all of those things would sort of mask the hurt so nobody could see it. So I would do that differently. I would stand a little taller within myself.
So for those that are listening, could you share with us what changed that caused you to rethink some things and become?
So my body started to rebel against me, right? Like I said just a minute ago, in front of my curtain, I was on. I was hopping flights to Paris to work for the weekend, hopping flights to Switzerland to get the job done. And so I was on, but there was a silent suffering that was happening that I couldn't tell anyone about, right? And so no one saw it because I was covering it up really well with the clothes and the trips, and I could pay my rent and all overhead 3-4 months at a time. And so everybody related that to like, oh, you're good, she's good. But then there is the physical evidence of me not feeling well started to show up in my skin, right? So the skin you see now that you said is glowing, that was not the skin that I was in. I had very, very bad acne. I had rashes covering my arms. I had what's called candida overgrowth. So I was getting constant migraines from a yeast overgrowing in my body, constant what is called leaky gut syndrome. I would eat and my stomach would sound like it's like sizzling, right? So I'm not taking care of myself. And so my body is starting to tell on me and people are starting to see like, oh, what's that? And then I'm just like, crap, like I can no longer hide this. And so the one thing that I know that I was doing when I went home is I would get in my word. I got my hands on Battlefield of the Mind, Joyce Meyer. And
love that book.
That is something to this day. I read that book every year. I'm literally reading it this week. And so when I got my, I started praying differently, like, God, show me what I'm missing, right? Like, show me who I am. And it felt like a dagger that I was asking these questions because I just knew that the answer was going to come and I wasn't going to like it. But the trade-off was I'm spinning my wheels here, right? Like, I am losing myself and I'm trying to keep up with this facade that's happening over here. But it's starting to show up on my body and in my body. And so it's crazy because I remember reading that book and there was a space that started to open up in me that I didn't allow myself to like go to before. And so little by little, I started losing everything. Like I started not being able to pay my rent. I started not being able to afford the niceties, the clients dried up, the trips stopped. And I know that it was because I was asking those questions, like, show me. And so, like, everything started being stripped away from me. Everything that I related to in terms of business and success, I didn't have that to hide behind anymore. And so the only thing that I was left with was my relationship with God. Like, I got evicted. My cell phone, couldn't pay the cell phone bill. And so the only thing that I had was God. And I remember the last day sitting in my apartment when it was time for me to go. And I was just like, I knew it was rock bottom, but I remember telling God, I know you are right here. And I know this is all for something. So that is when I start to be very present to the works of God, right? Like I started to realize like, okay, I gotta pray for the next meal and I need the evidence that God is real. And so I'm praying for it. I didn't know where the next dollar was gonna come from for the next week, for the next meal, but it showed up and little by little, the evidence that I was building an intimacy with God and that I was leaning on him specifically and he cared enough about me to get me to that place, right? Like that was powerful for me because he could have just let me keep going and going and masking and masking, but he loved me enough to actually call me near to him. So that's how it started to change right there. Asking the question, like, who am I? What am I missing?
That was a contributing factor right there. Everybody needs to hear that. You're going to continue to go the way you're going until you go to God and you ask for help.
Yeah.
He's a gentleman. He's not going to interrupt, get in your way, none of that stuff because of your will.
Yeah.
So God's plan is what you asked for, dear. And yeah. God's plan is what you got.
Exactly. And it was hard because I never had to ask anybody for anything, right? So I got 8 brothers, 1 sister, 2 stepsisters, right? And so I never had to ask, right? And so there's always been this, like, back then there had always been this, like, narrative around, oh, she's good, she's the one that we don't have to worry about, you know? And then I had to ask, right? And so that was difficult. But what I also learned there was, wow, like, I had you guys all along. Like, I had the support. I didn't have to be strong. I could have been weak a long time ago and you guys would have showed up like this. And so that was the awareness that God was giving me in the low moment, simply because I was present to it, right? Like, I wasn't trying to be the victim or I wasn't trying to stay there. I wanted to be very, very clear that, okay, this is a opportunity for me to get closer to God. And yeah, that stuff happened, but this is what matters. And so every little inkling of support and love and connection, I clinged to that because before I was a person that would miss weddings and birthday parties and the birth of nieces and nephews because I was too busy over here. But now Robin is in a low period and people are showing up. But in actuality, they have been there all along. It was just me neglecting and running from them.
That is real talk right there, because when you think about the root of all of that, you know, the disappearing act, you know, you're being accountable now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does your family look at you now? Because they seen you high, they seen you low. And now they see that you're back, but you're back like never before. So how does your family view you?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I like to make sure that I'm even keeled, right? That I'm not portraying that everything is all fine and dandy. I make sure I call and I state the truth. If anyone asks me how's your day and it's just not so good, I state that, right? Because I don't want to pretend with my loved ones anymore. So there's that element of me just being completely transparent and honest with them when I check in around, you know, this, that, and the third, and what I'm building. Like, I'm not there with the business, but I'm getting there. And then there is the side of me where I am the one that they call on for. So as of lately, my family's been calling on me for, what do I do about this cryptocurrency? Are you in this cryptocurrency? How can I, you know? And so it's really cool. Like, my dad called me and he was like, did you invest in cryptocurrency? How do I do it? What do I do? And so had a clear conversation with him. I'm at this point where some of the, like, my aunt, she calls on me and she's asking for me to help set her up certain accounts and make certain phone calls for her. So I'm at this state now where there's so much trust on both sides with people in my family, where they call on me because they do see me as a strong one. They do see me as the one that is doing something a little cool, a little different. And maybe I have the answers and they call me to get it. But I make sure that there's a good balance play with, you know, helping them, but also just letting them know this is what's going on over here. Or even if I just can't help you this week and I got to pause you, like, I have to be clear with them about that too, because I don't want to fall on the default of just helping them and putting myself on the back burner because I'm trying to make up for lost time. So now it's just a It's just a clean, mindful balance that I have with my family. And I'm just present. I'm so present to it.
You know, as we prepare to close, I want you to share with everybody, you know, your full name. And I believe that the specifics of your middle name is going to make sense to how you're embracing that name, being in your healthy place. When before you shared off camera that embracing the name Robin was a name that was acceptable, you know? And, but the beauty of your middle name, it was something that, you know, it wasn't as acceptable, you know, it was intimidating, you know, but because you have come into who you are and where you are, would make more sense that you would embrace her. Share with the listeners.
I'll rewind slightly. So in, I want to say maybe 2016, I took, when I lost everything, I took a healing journey to Leesville, Louisiana, a town where I graduated high school. It's like such a small town. And I stayed there for 6 months and I didn't do anything. I stayed with an aunt and I just got really, really quiet around past and present and future and what it is that I wanted. And my understanding of myself, my sense of self, I was ready to rewrite the narrative. I was ready to just step in my own power and who I am. And so, you know, typically the first thing that you do when you meet someone is you introduce yourself. And so I had always kind of struggled a little bit with how I would introduce myself. Robin Shaqué Brown is my entire name. And Shaqué has been the name that represented my roots. Born and raised mostly in the South, but my dad was in the Army, so we bopped about a bit. But Shaqué was always like this endearing childhood name that everyone would call me. And when you say it right, it has a harmony to it. And my mom got it from her brother's girlfriend. And she didn't know it at the time. She just liked the name. And anytime I meet a Nigerian, they say it's a Nigerian name, but they can't tell me the meaning. They can't, you know, translate it into a meaning. And so Robin was like this name that I had to start using when I moved to New York, simply because no one understood it. No one knew how to say Shaqué. It didn't have that harmony. It didn't have that affection. It didn't have that that tie to it. And so I started experiencing name bias, and in employment, I started experiencing name bias. So I remember handing in a resume or an application and I would put Shaqué Brown and I wouldn't get called back. And then someone, a recruiter or someone, told me to put Robin Brown and resubmit the applications. And like, I got called back from Robin Brown. And so that led me to just stop introducing myself as Shaqué and lead with Robin. But what I found out on that 6 month healing journey is, so I know that I'm both. But there's so much power for me in the name Shaqué. I mean, even just as, again, going back to being in this honorable club of a Black woman, like there's a twang to that. There's some heat and some fire to that. And so now I'm in this space where it's my choice to tell people that my name is Shaqué, correct them anytime they say it wrong, or, you know, even intentionally or unintentionally. But now I'm just in this space where it's time to go back to my roots, even with that narrative that I shared of my mother, I can like, I can stand in a new power.
Yes.
That story is so gone, right? Like that story is so gone because I used all of it, right? Like I used that story, I used all the other stories, and now I get to actually reclaim it in a
yes.
graceful and dignified and powerful way that I am Sha'Kae Brown.
Yes. Love it. Love it. So speak to some people today. Encourage them. You know, if they find that they're hiding from who they really are or who they really is, you know, the importance of finding yourself, you know, in finding that peace. Speak to someone this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I realized that a lot of us, so there's a spiritual component to healing. Then there is there's a physical component to healing. And then there's choices in healing, right? And so I realized for myself, the spiritual component of me getting in a space with God and asking those questions. But I also realized with what I shared that my body was just clonking out on me. And I had to look at some of the choices that I was making. And once I started looking at what was on my plate in terms of my choices and how that was enabling my body just failing on me, I had to really start to look at food as a healing mechanism for me, right? Like, and I started to change my relationship. Coming from the South, eating the way that I did, I started realizing how it was making me even sicker. And so my message to people around healing is not just one thing, right? Like we might be very, very clear on our beliefs in the God we serve, but we may not be clear in our choices, clear in our body. So reevaluating your relationship with your body really starts to help you reevaluate some of your choices. And I'm gonna clean that up a little bit. There's this concept that I started using called my body, a love letter. My body, comma, a love letter. And so when you or anyone else compliments me, you're seeing my choices, right? Like you're seeing my food choices, you're seeing me, you're seeing my choices in my walk with God, you're seeing my choices in my gym regimen. You are reading my body a love letter, because I had to go from all of that hurt, all of those things happening in my body, and I was going to the doctors and they were prescribing a pill for every ill. They weren't giving me any real, you know, scenario as to how to heal. And so I got clear that in order for me to actually heal myself and take it to the next level, because I was clear with God, I was getting that relationship right. The next thing I needed to do is I need to get my eating and my health in a clear place. So consider that relationship with your body, right? Like the way you live in your body should be the safest place that there is. And making choices to feel that way, they're empowering. They're really empowering. So I hope that was clear enough that healing, it comes in so many different forms, but don't neglect how much food choices and moving your body is a part of the healing journey. It's not just the spiritual component. Link them up, let them work together.
Thank you, Robert. Beautifully said. And I believe that there are many that are listening and needed this message this morning. Thank you for gracing the platform of Reveal and Heal. Our Motivation Monday quote, don't let your emotions be your decision maker. And I want to share one of my favorite scriptures with you today, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's plan. Thank you, Facebook family, for tuning in to Reveal and Heal. Remember to follow us on all social media. We, of course, on Spotify, Pandora, many, many others. All you need to do is just key in Relationship Lounge 19 and you will find us. Please, please share the replay. Please share the replay, guys. You cannot get all the good that was shared this morning by listening once. You've got to hear it over and over again. Robin shared so much, and you know, you find yourself just lingering on some stuff and missing out as she go along, you know, with her sharing. So please pay it forward and share this message to some people that might miss out on hearing. Again, thank you so much. I'm Coach Deb. Remember, you can't heal unless you reveal. Have an amazing day. You deserve it.